Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. A major barrier to biosimilar uptake in the United States involves interchangeability, which is a regulatory designation given by the FDA that allows for switches between a reference product and a biosimilar to occur at the pharmacy level. Currently, there are no biosimilars that have received interchangeability status. Additionally, now that insulin products are regulated under the Biologics Price Competition and Innovation Act, or BPCIA, as a result of a regulatory rule change that occurred in March, biosimilar insulin products also may receive interchangeable designations. We sat down with Representative Glenn Grothman, a Republican from Wisconsin, and the author of H.R. 8190, a House bill that would waive interchangeability requirements for biosimilar insulins, to discuss why this bill is needed for Americans and what it could mean for future biosimilar legislation. So, Representative Grothman, why do you think interchangeability designations are needed for insulin products?
Well, I think the cost of insulin is so important because it is a life-saving medication. And I am involved with people who have juvenile diabetes. So you've got a situation in which parents can be stuck paying hundreds of dollars, maybe $1,000 a month for something that their child needs to survive. And that's just really unacceptable. You know, it kind of crimps the whole family, puts them in a financially difficult situation. If we could get more access to biosimilars, we could make these folks' lives much easier.
How can interchangeability designations impact insulin costs for patients?
Well, it's going to be an alternative. You know, right now we don't have enough alternatives. And whenever you have an alternative, there becomes a fight for prices. People can price shop, and usually things go down. And like I said, you know, if you can reduce, say, the monthly cost to some people from $1,000 a month to $200 a month, then that's huge. That's a complete game changer for the way that family's able to live.
What are you hearing from your constituents in Wisconsin about the need for these designations and the high price of insulin?
Well, of course, they're not familiar with biosimilars. I do get people who show up at my town halls who give me tales of woe because of the high cost of drugs. And at least once or twice a year, I get a group particularly involved in juvenile diabetes coming through my office. And of course, they always have heart-rending stories because here you have a child and you have a given expectation of how you're going to live. And all of a sudden, you're paying $500, $1,000 a month out of pocket to keep that child alive. Why, it's just devastating. So it's very vital that we get alternatives out there and find some way to save these folks a little bit of money.
Now, your bill discusses biosimilar insulins, but not biosimilars generally. Why should biosimilar insulins be treated differently with an interchangeability designation than other biosimilars?
Well, first of all, I would argue that it's a little bit safer because people are always getting checked up who need insulin. So if there's something wrong, we'd find it right away. Secondly, just politically, it's easier to take this first step. So many people out there have diabetes and need this medication that I think it'll be easier to get it through Congress than if we go for the whole thing at one shot. And who knows, you know, it may take years before we have adequate research on other biosimilars to know that we have something that'll be helpful to people.
How do you feel about interchangeability for biosimilars in a general sense?
Oh, I think it's a good thing, just like generics. Can you imagine if today we did not have generics for pharmaceuticals? I mean, can you imagine the huge cost of drugs for everybody? And hopefully someday biosimilars will have the same impact on people who need these medications.
What sort of impact do you think your bill could have on future biosimilar legislation?
Well, if it works out, it's going to be hard for people to object if we have other opportunities to help lower the cost of things. I think that's the big thing. I mean, I really can't quite think of a similar situation, but I think throughout life, you know, once you demonstrate that one product works, it's easier to move on to a similar product. And I hope that's what's going to happen here.
Some people have said the lack of an interchangeability designation can make a biosimilar seem like an inferior product. What do you think of that?
I think that may be an unfortunate perception, which isn't necessarily true, but I think it's one reason that we do want to be able to substitute biosimilars in, right? I mean, otherwise people may be concerned, because if you're going to tell somebody to take the biosimilar, they have to be assured that it's just as good as the insulin. Just as if you want somebody to take a generic, they have to be assured that it's just as good as the original medication.
Have you heard from other members of Congress that they would support a measure such as this?
Well, it took us almost a year to get the bill out of drafting, which is very difficult and sometimes the most difficult thing in Congress. So this week I'll be in all 4 days preaching to my fellow congressmen, trying to get co-sponsors on the bill and trying to build some momentum among not just myself.
What kind of hurdles have you encountered so far in getting this bill started, and what do you anticipate?
Well, the biggest problem so far was, like I said, just getting out of drafting. I think in the future, there are going to be some people maybe working behind the scenes who view biosimilars as a threat, something that they have right now. That's one of the reasons why it's always difficult to get things through Congress. I would anticipate if we ever get it through, well, there's a chance we get it on the floor of the House. To get it through the Senate would probably be part of a larger bill somewhere down the road. There's usually a massive bill done in December. I don't know whether you can move that quickly, but it depends how quickly we can educate people and maybe develop a little bit of public outcry here to get this done, which is one of the reasons why I'm happy to be on this show, and I'm happy that your organization is publicizing this. You know, to get something through Congress, it takes a good cause, but it also takes work. And the more people who hear about these potentially huge cost-saving biosimilars, the more Congress is going to be amenable to moving this on through. And that's why we're going to ask for anybody who sees this to call your congressman if you're familiar with the issue and say, hey, what's going on? Why can't this bill move? Because the more we have co-sponsor the bill, or the more we have people in leadership who want the bill to move, the greater chance we're going to be able to get this through Congress.
What types of insulin products under the BPCIA would be affected by your bill? Would this apply to follow-on insulins as well as those officially classified as biosimilars?
Yes, it would. It covers them both.
And lastly, do you have any other concluding thoughts?
Well, I'm just going to point out to the listeners here, who I assume view my bill favorably, to get something done in Congress, like everything else in life, takes hard work. So we're going to want to get as many congressmen as possible educated on this bill. And since politicians want to get reelected, we want to make sure that they know that people are watching. But I think individual stories are also important. And I'm sure your organization will be able to provide me with individual stories. I am always very affected when the Juvenile Diabetes Association comes through my office every year, because you see these wonderful kids who need this insulin, and you think how devastating it must be that sometimes they have to pay $800, $1,000 out of pocket just to stay alive. And that's the type of story that's going to cause this bill to eventually get through Congress and to the president's desk.
Well, Representative Grothman, thank you for your insights, and thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.